Well, happy Wednesday morning to you, and welcome to another Midweek Mix. Carrie Black with you here on your information station for all of Southwest Florida. I've got a pretty cool interview for you today. Told you about it earlier. We've got an expert about sky-high electricity bills happening in Florida and the policies that could actually make things worse. We are here to talk with expert David Jenkins. He is president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. And it's happening in Florida. David, first tell me, good morning. Tell us a little bit about the organization you represent, Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. I already like it.
Yeah, it's pretty much what the name says. Our members, we have 20,000 around the country, 6,000 in Florida. They're conservatives who care about conservation and environmental stewardship. An important conservative value is responsibility and looking out for making the world a better place for future generations, and stewardship and conservation and those kind of things play a big part in that. And we're very proud of the conservative history on environmental accomplishment through this country's history.
Absolutely. Just gonna give our listeners a little background. What's happening right now in Florida? Florida's big utilities, which rely heavily on aging and increasingly expensive fossil fuel plants, have asked the Florida Public Service Commission for permission to raise electricity rates. Well, unfortunately, the utility companies have failed to adjust to the market trends and to diversify with low-cost solar production, and now they want Floridians to pay higher prices for electricity. So that means you, me, everyone listening here. So, David, can you give our listeners a primer on the bill that is actually sitting on the desk of Governor Ron DeSantis? How would it affect the local laws here?
Yeah, House Bill 919 was passed by the legislature and is awaiting the governor's signature, and hopefully he'll veto it. That's what we're hoping. It's a preemption bill. What it means is it basically says Tallahassee can only Tallahassee can make laws regarding energy across the state. So whether it's Tampa or Sarasota or wherever, if you guys wanted to, your local elected officials wanted to enact standards or resolutions or regulations or anything related to energy and energy conservation, this bill would say, oh, you don't have the right. It's got to come from the state. This bill is being promoted or being lobbied for by TECO, actually, Tampa Electric, they got upset, I guess, that Tampa was thinking about some building standards where they were trying to reduce the amount of natural gas used in to power buildings, heat and air conditioning and things like that, and the natural gas lobby and TECO decided, well, okay, if these localities are going to try to do these things, we're just going to go to the state and say, hey, just preempt them and not let them do it. And this is like a trend in Florida. I mean, recently there was the preemption that prevented cities with ports from denying cruise ships harbor, during the pandemic. A year or two ago, there was one preempting the Keys from requiring coral-friendly sunscreen. And, the coral is like an economic engine for them. They just want to protect their little golden egg there. And the state saying, no, you can't do that, because some lobbyists came in there and said, oh, well, we don't make that kind of sunscreen, so we want you to preempt that. And it's really weird because, as conservatives, as long as I can remember, we've preached that the best government is the one that's closest to the people. And so when you start preempting it and do this one size fits all edict from Tallahassee, it can't be good. Each locality, knows the needs and things of their residents, and also say they want to enact energy policies because they're trying to save the government money so that people can pay less in taxes. Well, if Tallahassee preempts that, then you can't make those moves.
Right. That's a good point. Speaking with David Jenkins, president of the Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, We're talking about sky-high electricity bills in Florida, the policies that could actually make things worse. And it's funny that we're talking about this, David, because in the news, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago in Punta Gorda, some of our listening areas, some of the equipment is very outdated. And it seems like this bill will strip the local community where we are, where you are, of any ability to control what happens in our own neighborhoods, you know. Is that the case, you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, the bill certainly is a bad move. But beyond that, there's a broader problem that the utilities in Florida face. You know, just give you an example. The price of solar energy plus storage right now, which is storage is battery storage, you know, so like when the sun's shining, you can make the electricity and then store it, and then in the nighttime or a cloudy day or whatever, you can actually release it. So solar, you know, is more reliable, but utility scale plants that are relying on solar and storage for their electricity generation are selling that electricity for as low as $14 a megawatt hour. Whereas the price of electricity being produced by old natural gas and coal plants, can be as high as $80 or $90 a megawatt hour. $14 a megawatt hour versus $80 or $90 a megawatt hour. And then there's some that are like, you know, in between $40, $45 a megawatt hour. But solar the price has just fell off the cliff. And so from a market perspective, if you want to save ratepayers' money, you want to like be, investing in and building out the cheapest form of energy. But Florida, which is the sunshine state and has one of the more abundant solar resources in the nation, is really lagging behind in that regard. Florida gets, I've seen two different estimates. Some say 2.8% of Florida's electricity is from solar, and some say 3%. But anyway, it's low. While Vermont, which is considerably less sunny less daylight hours, gets 14% of its electricity from solar. And other states that are sunny, like Nevada and California, they're getting, 14, 15, 20% of their electricity from solar. And they're shooting up for to get 50% from solar by 2030. Just 9 years away.
We're not doing that good here in Florida, seems like.
Right.
There's room for improvement, huh?
Right. And the reason that coal and gas generated electricity is getting more expensive is that the plants that are making it are getting older. You alluded to that earlier. So most of our coal fired plants were built, or all of them pretty much, were built between 1950 and 1990. So they're either at or some cases beyond their life expectancy. So anytime you have all that mechanical stuff going on and it's very old, the maintenance and operating cost of it goes up. And we're seeing the same thing with the natural gas plants because they're aging too, and they have a shorter life expectancy. And so if you're relying solely on gas or coal power and these plants are getting older and costing more, regardless of what the fuel cost, the price of that electricity is going to continue to increase. So the way you avoid that, if you're a utility and care about, you know, saving your ratepayers' money, is you diversify with the cheapest forms of electricity so that you can offset growing cost in your other sources. And so some utilities in Arizona have pledged that by 2032, they're going to be, 85% solar. But Florida's utilities are not doing that.
That's crazy.
FPNL is mostly natural gas, like 85% natural gas, while Duke and TECO are 90-95% a combination of natural gas and coal. You know, it's like with your own finances. You know, if you're invested in mutual funds and stock market, the whole name of the game is diversity, because you don't want to put all your eggs in that one basket that suddenly, you know, the price falls or whatever. So same thing with energy. But these companies need to be diversified. But because they're monopoly utilities and they each have a captive customer base, because, you know, if you if you're a FPNL customer, you can't switch over to TECO or Duke or anywhere else, and vice versa. They have that captive customer base. So it's not like McDonald's and Wendy's, where if you drive down the street, you could like choose one over the other. You're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so they know you're stuck. So all they have to do is ask the Public Service Commission to raise your rates, which all three of them are doing right this moment. Duke's actually was already approved. Most of these things seem to be rubber stamped by the Public Service Commission. And so they're all asking for rate increases. FPNL's rate increase will increase folks' utility bills by 18%. And it's up for consideration right now.
Oh, my. All right. We are speaking with David Jenkins. He's the president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. They're actually a national nonprofit grassroots organization founded on the premise that environmental stewardship and natural resource conservation are inherently conservative, and that the true conservative will be a good steward of the natural systems and resources that sustain life for us on this earth. And we're speaking with David. We're talking about the bill that is actually sitting on Governor Ron DeSantis' desk as we speak. He's considering signing it into legislation. I believe you said it was House Bill 919, correct, David?
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's to preempt cities and counties from making their own laws related to energy. Like we had talked a little bit earlier, it's going to strip local communities of any ability to actually control what happens in their own neighborhoods. I ask you a couple other questions and dive into this a little bit deeper, David. We have to take a break. Can you stick around?
Sure.
Okay, great. You're listening to the Midweek Mix. We'll take our first break and be right back after this. Stay close. Welcome back to the Midweek Mix here on Southwest Florida's information station. We are WENG. So happy to have on the president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship this morning with me. It is David Jenkins. We're speaking about the sky-high electricity bills that could be happening in Florida. They're going to raise your rates. We don't like hearing that. And the policies that could make things worse. David, how do Republicans and Democrats in Florida's legislature look at this issue? I mean, obviously the bill was passed. It's on the desk of Governor Ron DeSantis, but what is going on with that?
Well, it's kind of a head scratcher for me in terms of why Republicans are and conservatives supposedly are supporting a preemption bill that really sort of imposes an edict, a one size fits all approach to all the localities in the state of Florida on anything. And we, as we mentioned earlier, you know, this is not just limited to energy, but the energy one is a big one because Tampa has tried to enact some energy laws that seem to make sense for them, for their residents and other communities as well. And having the state just say, well, you know, we're going to listen to the lobbyists and not the localities, and we're going to impose this, is bad. And I think this cuts across both parties. There's just too much of a habit of listening to special interests and special interest lobbyists rather than really reaching out and finding out what the people want.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned that there was some climate legislation put through recently. Can you talk about that for Florida?
The legislature recently passed some climate resilience legislation, which gets broad bipartisan support, and that's a good thing. Climate resilience, protecting areas from flooding and storm surges and things like that, saltwater intrusion into our drinking water aquifers and things like that. It's all good. The only thing is that we just got to keep in mind, it's weird that this kind of resilience legislation, which spends money, has such bipartisan support. But when you get into the prevention side of things, we don't see much activity in the legislature. If you're a fiscal conservative, you know, and you realize that when you build infrastructure, it's expensive to start with, but you're not just paying for it then. You have to maintain it in perpetuity. So our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will still be paying for this stuff. So when you realize that and you think, well, you know, if we could prevent some of these climate impacts and lessen them, then we require less of that infrastructure spending that will be with us for a long time. So, you know, we urge the legislature to start thinking about those kind of things. It ties into the energy discussion we've been talking about. If the state was, for example, putting out some standards that force the utilities to diversify their energy sources and get more from sources that don't emit greenhouse gas emissions. Nuclear is one of those, but solar is as well, wind is as well. If the utilities were required to diversify with a lot of those, like most states require, then the state would be actually helping prevent these climate impacts, and hopefully would down the road spend less money on this kind of infrastructure that they have to do to respond to them. You're seeing all kinds of impacts in Florida from you know the heat waves like you had last summer to storms intensifying more citrus greening disease that has really afflicted the state's crops. And you know, the one thing that really strikes me is that there's probably no state in the country relies more than on the attractiveness of its climate as an economic engine than Florida does. So if that climate becomes less hospitable or less attractive, the state's economy suffers and people suffer. And so you've got to look at it from that standpoint. Maybe it doesn't matter as much in Vermont or something, but in Florida, people flock to that state, whether they're moving there to live because they like the weather or whether it's tourism. It all really hinges a lot on the weather and the climate in that state.
And we've had a ton of people moving into our state, David, recently.
Yes, because
of the things happening up yonder. I'll just leave it at that. So this just slays me, though, that they're wanting to raise they want to raise our electricity prices during a pandemic to prop up their own aging power plants and things like that. And I was reading, too, David, that over half of Floridians don't even have an idea this is happening, which I'm so happy to have you on to spread the word.
That is true. Some polling was done, and it's not like these the utilities are broadcasting it for everybody. They're just going quietly to the Public Service Commission and saying, "Hey, well, can we raise rates?" So that's important. Yeah. The other thing that's really frustrating about this is FPNL, their parent is NextEra Energy, and their parent is doing all kinds of solar stuff all over the nation, and yet they don't do it to the same degree with their subsidiary in Florida. I don't know. It makes no sense when you're in the Sunshine. You got a utility in Sunshine State, and you're not letting the people there take advantage of solar, where you're doing that kind of stuff in Colorado and other places, you know?
Absolutely. I think you alluded to it earlier. It's a head scratcher. It's a no-brainer. I mean, really? I don't think this is rocket science. But, it'll be interesting to see what DeSantis does. What do you think he'll do, David?
I don't know. I mean, the fact that it passed the legislature means that whoever the lobbyist is pushing for this, TECO and the natural gas lobby, they have a lot of influence. But what would really help is if the public gets on the phone and starts calling in and demanding that he veto this thing, then he'll realize that if he does sign it, there's a bit of a political price to pay.
There you go. And speaking of that, perfect segue. Where can people go if they want more information, David, about this issue we've been talking about, and more importantly, about your organization too?
Our website is a great resource. www.conservativestewards.org, and you can look us up on Facebook as well, and we're very active up there. We have blogs that explain all this stuff, and we also have a climate education site for conservatives called climateconservative.org. So any of that and all that, great resource for folks, and people can feel free to reach out to us anytime, and we'll provide any information you need.
Wonderful. President of the Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, David Jenkins, thanks so much for being on the show today. You stay safe.
Okay, thank you for having me.
You bet, anytime. And the Midweek Mix rolls on. Keep it right here. We've got a couple local celebrities. They've written a book. They're married, and they've written a book together. It's mystery. It's suspense. We're going to highlight them right in our own backyard. That's coming on your way next here on the Midweek Mix on WENG after a short break.